Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. This is episode 31, and I'm your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good, Dave. We're actually talking in the afternoon here on Friday, which is a little unusual for us, a little earlier than usual. So we'll be getting this podcast out sooner, which is great.
Yeah. Lots to talk about here, but let me first let everybody know, as always, go to our website, offthechartshorseracing.com. At the top of the page, you'll find links to all of our podcasting links, where it'll be Apple Podcasts, subscribe to iTunes, do it through your favorite podcatcher, through our RSS feeds. Be sure you're following us on Twitter at offthechartshr, as Steve will post some many late changes. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. Also, Google Android users have the Google Music Play Store, and we also are on Stitcher. Be able to listen to us as well. And we are just blown away by all these folks listening to us. Last week's episode was just incredible. Over 200 downloads, which is just absolutely crazy. 3,700 plus so far. Keep listening. We love it. We're loving that you guys are enjoying this show. And obviously, we have a lot of repeat listeners, and we want to be sure that you're enjoying what we do. And hopefully, you're giving us some feedback, which we'll give that at the end, too. This is my favorite time of year. We got, about 4 weeks left until the big first day in May, the Running for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby. And there are always some great prep races coming up. And this weekend is not anything less. So, So today we're going to talk about last week, review some of the winners you had that happened last week. Then we go into the Horse Nugget segment, and you'll be talking about value handicapping. And, of course, then we'll go into your picks for the week. And this is going to be three Derby prep races at Keeneland, Aqueduct, and Santa Anita. So we're going to have one race of each each of those tracks for Saturday. There is a lot of racing happening this weekend, so we'll get into that in a little bit as well. So let's go ahead and kick it in and give us your review of last week.
Yeah, Dave, so we had one top pick winner and one top two pick winner. And actually, we did have one top three pick winner, so handicap four races, and three of the four races, the top the winning horse came from our top three selections, unfortunately, in one of the legs of that pick four. Mm-hmm. We ran second and didn't win. Otherwise, we would have had that pick four last week. So, but we continue to produce, Dave. We continue to identify competitive horses in these races, and overall, 174 stakes handicap, 76 top two pick winners. 44%. If you would bet on our top two picks, so we're hitting at a 44% clip, and keeping in mind that you know what we're doing every weekend is probably the most difficult handicapping task there is, which is to go after and look at the most competitive races for the highest purse money. Shifting from track to track, you know, I know, Dave, that you and I and a friend of ours had a lengthy discussion about this when we were out in Las Vegas together, just about the difficulty and the task that we have taken on with this podcast. And so I hope the listeners realize that, I have decided to go at this thing, being challenged and tackling probably the all the horse handicapping, the most difficult of them all, which is not to be picking spot plays from track to track or identifying key scenarios, but to really just take a look at the races that most people are interested in every weekend, which are the Saturday stakes races, and try to identify some winners and some horses at a price that can compete.
Yeah, and like I said, this is such a great time of year for horse racing. You got the Triple Crown, three of the biggest races of the year. There's so many different stakes picks races that you can tackle, and like you said, these are some challenges. But you know what, you're doing pretty good considering all the challenges that are up with these type of races. So,
thanks, Dave.
Well done.
Thank you.
So let's move right on to the Horse Nugget segment. You're going to talk about value handicapping. That's an interesting topic. And tell us what your thoughts are on this.
Yeah, sure, Dave. So I this conversation started, I think, with you and I last week when we were together watching the races on Saturday, and I just started thinking about what my kind of niche is and the way that I go about handicapping. And my handicapping style is to do what I call value handicapping. So really what I do is I use the morning line and I try to select horses that I think will outperform their morning line. I'm looking for value, right? I'm looking for horses that are that have a better price or a potential better price from an odds perspective that I think can outrun those odds. That's really what I'm looking to do. And because I'm not a because I'm not a public handicapper and no one's paying me to do this, what I want to do and what I like to do in these podcasts is to give some insight as to how I handicap races and what I look for and look at. I try to make this educational. I'm not trying to keep any secrets here.
Right.
Just trying to share knowledge and hopefully people will grab on to it. So when I talk about value handicapping, really what I'm doing, Dave, is I'm looking for horses that I think will outrun their morning line. One of the things that I'm trying to provide through these podcasts is I just want to be a consistent handicapper. I'm not looking to select long shots to create what I call the wow factor. I think there's probably a lot of people giving out picks and information in the market today who don't pick a whole lot of winners, just, you know, keep taking stabs in the dark with long shots. And then when one of those long shots come in, there's a lot of brag and a lot of people, you know, remember those things. So they get people to follow them because they selected a long shot, you know, once every 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
That's not what I'm looking to do here. What I'm really looking to do is to provide some consistency around my handicapping and provide that to the people listening to these podcasts. Along these same lines around value handicapping, there's a couple of interesting things that you can do as a handicapper. And I just share this with people who are listening who do their own handicapping. One of the things I've done a few times in my handicapping life is I have handicapped the past performances without the morning line. A lot of times when you get earlier versions of the PPs through DRF, it'll come without the morning line because there hasn't even been one created yet. So you can get those past performances. And it's really interesting sometimes to handicap races without being influenced by what the morning line is going to be, or what the track handicapper thinks the odds on the horse is going to be, though, that particular horse or particular group of horses is going to be. You know, that's what the track handicapper does. Track handicapper sets the morning line. It's interesting to identify the horses that you like without that. And then once the morning line comes out, it's really interesting to see the horses you've selected and how they connect back to that morning line. I have found some incredible value plays, horses that I really liked, and they turned out to be, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. 10-1 in the morning line. So try that sometimes, handicappers. Try sometime, or even if you do get the past performances, the morning lines in there, take a piece of paper quickly and just put it over where the morning line shows, and then handicap the race and see who you come up with. Another thing that I like to try from time to time is to handicap from outside in. So go to the last horse in the post positions and then work your way to the rail. Most of us handicappers start with the one horse, look at the one, then the two, and really what winds up happening is I think we're heavily influenced by those first few horses that we look at. And so we have a tendency to not put as much time or view into the horses have drawn outside posts. So sometimes I like to handicap what I call from the outside in, which is to start with the 10 or 11 posts, whichever the far outside is, and then work my way back to the one horse and see what horses I come up with. So just a couple things around value handicapping, Dave, and some little tricks that I've learned to try to identify some horses that might be able to outrun their odds.
And even when you have to, when you handicap such a big race like the Kentucky Derby with 20 horses in the field, I mean, that in itself is the challenge, you know, go from the 20 hole all the way down to the one hole. Boy, that really can be a challenging.
It is challenging. And like I said, Dave, most of us will start with the first, with the one horse, and then go to the two, and then go to the three. By the time you're at the 20th horse, I don't care who you are, you're not putting as much time and energy into it. And the other thing is you wind up getting influenced by the things you've already looked at. And that's fine. You should be. But my challenge would be get influenced from the outside in. See what that looks like.
Exactly.
It's an interesting technique. I've used it a few times, and I've identified some horses that have drawn, you know, a little bit farther out post positions, but showed some value, and I was able to cash some nice tickets by doing that. It's just a suggestion, something that that handicappers can try.
All right. No, that was some great information. And every week I have a great horse nugget excitement. This one was no less of a good topic. So let's move on. And we're going to go on to the three horses that you've picked for this coming weekend on Saturday. They're all Derby prep races, Keeneland, Aqueduct, and Santa Anita. We're going to start at Keeneland. You have the 10th race. That's a mile and eighth. It's grade two. It's the 94th running of the Bluegrass Stakes that, well, of course, branded the Toyota Bluegrass. It's $1 million purse for three-year-olds, of course. And, this is a big race out there at Keeneland. And Keeneland just opening, I believe, today as we record, right?
Correct.
So this will be the second racing day tomorrow. So give us your picks.
Yeah. So, Dave, I should probably make sure that I temper some of these picks just from the standpoint that the weather forecast for Keeneland does not look like it's going to be really good. And so we don't know what kind of track we're going to get tomorrow. So I've tried to incorporate the chance that we might get an off track or not a perfect track tomorrow at Keeneland. And the same thing with Aqueduct, though I think the forecast is a little bit better in New York than it is for Keeneland tomorrow. But in this 10th race, Dave, at Keeneland, I'm going to make the two-horse Sporting Chance our top selection, trained by D. Wayne Lucas. Luis Saez is the jockey. This horse is 10-1 in the morning line, Dave.
Yep. Plus Saez coming off of an incredible meet at Gulfstream. So.
Yes, where he was the leading jockey. Yeah. So, and he's had a lot of success riding for Lucas as well. So this horse a $575,000 purchase. Couple things to like here, Dave. This horse is third off a layoff, so Lucas is not one to have them racing at peak condition off the layoff. So I know that this horse is starting to come into form, which is usually his style. Has shown, you know, if you look at those races last year, and it's in this horse's 2-year-old campaign, shows a lot of early speed, right? Look at those 22s for the opening quarter at Saratoga and the other one at Churchill, and looks like this horse can get out on the lead. Certainly this distance, being out of Tisnow, Tomlinson at 399, distance shouldn't be an issue here. I like these last two kind of even efforts in the Southwest and the Rebel, both at Oaklawn Park. D-Wayne is no stranger to Derby season success. And certainly he's having one of his better years in quite a long time, Dave. So I think at 10-1 with a nice inside trip with a hot jockey, this horse just seems like the right play and the right horse to make our top pick. So let's make the two Sporting Chance our top selection in this 10th race at Aqueduct.
Okay.
Our second selection in this race, Dave, is going to be the 11 horse. The 11 horse is Good Magic. Chad Brown trains Jose Ortiz, the jockey. This horse is 2-1 in the morning line. As you know, Dave, I picked this horse as our top selection in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at 11-1 and won and ran off. It was our big winner on Breeders' Cup Day. This horse is second off a layoff. It is Chad and Jose Ortiz. They're 27% when they team up. This horse has got a really nice bullet work out there on March 31st coming in this race. Probably needed the last one. As you know, we had that promises fulfilled that keyed that that nice pick four that you and I had on March 3rd out at Gulfstream when Promises Fulfilled just wired this group of horses. Good Magic was, what, 3-5 that day. So, but as I think I said during that podcast, you know, these horses, especially on this Derby trail, a lot of times off the bench are not corked and ready for their best performance because the trainer is looking at the big prize, which is the Kentucky Derby. So I expect Good Magic's going to race much better this time. But at 2-1 the morning line, probably be over bet, probably go off closer to even money. And I like our top selection to give this to give Good Magic all that he can handle. But let's make the 11 horse, Dave. Logically, Good Magic, our second selection here in race 10 at Keeneland.
Okay.
And our third and final selection here, Dave, is going to be the four horse. And you can look at our race notes that should say four. The four horse is Kanthanka. Kanthanka is trained by Jerry Hollendorfer. Julian Le Perreux is the jockey. This horse is another 10-1 shot in the morning line, and I like this horse. I think I know that I picked this horse in its last start because that first race off the bench at Santa Anita on February 10th was just, you know, visually incredible. Could have bounced, right? Produced a 99 buyer speed figure off that layoff, and then produced a buyer at 91, so bounced by 8 points the last time out. This horse is shipping from Santa Anita, though, Dave, all the way out to Aqueduct. So, you know, that's a long trip. I don't know how this horse is going to fare when he goes from coast to coast. But I do know that Hollendorfer is 23% in great stakes races. So I'm sure that Jerry wants to show that this horse really should be, you know, a Derby contender and on the Derby trail. Kind of like the jockey change to Le Perreux. He's going to sit patiently here. You know, Le Perreux is a great jockey in Kentucky for whatever reason, Churchill, Keeneland, those tracks. Yep. And at 10-1, I think this horse is, you know, we should put this horse in as a pick. So let's make the four horse, Dave, Kanthanka, our third selection. So in this bluegrass Keeneland race 10, Dave, our selections are the 2, the 11, and the 4.
All right, great. And let's move east to Aqueduct, the 10th race there as well. This is a mile and an eighth, and this is another big race and another Derby prep. It's a grade two. It's the 94th running of the Wood Memorial. $750,000 and 3-year-olds, of course. And give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave, so I'm going to go a little bit outside the box here for my selection in this 10th race at Aqueduct. Our top selection is going to be the 4-horse. The 4-horse is Old Time Revival. Kenneth Decker trains. Jeremy Rose is the jockey. This horse is 6-1 in the morning line. You know, I have a nice SP written here for speed. This horse has been on two really fast paces the last time out. Came up short both times. But this is the kind of horse, as I've described in other podcasts, that eventually these horses keep going on, right? These horses that get the lead and stay a long time into the stretch only to come up and finish second. There are times that, you know, after a number of races that these horses are able to – they've been conditioned by these very quick fractions they've run in. All this jock has to do is slow the pace down a little bit, and I think this horse is going to be right there. This horse raced second to Enticed, who's going to go off as a gigantic favorite in this race. The last time out, and only lost by two and three quarters lengths, and had a half length lead in the stretch. So, you know, the price is right, 6-1 in the morning line.
Yep.
This horse is got the kind of speed that, you know, on an Aqueduct racetrack that on, you know, under normal conditions is very speed favoring. I think this horse got a big shot, Dave. So let's make the 4-horse Old Time Revival our top selection in this Wood Memorial 10th race at Aqueduct.
Okay.
Our second selection, Dave, is going to be the 9-horse. The 9-horse is Vino Rosso, trained by Todd Pletcher, Johnny Velasquez, 9-2 in the morning line. this is a champ. This is a Tampa shipper. this is a horse that that probably bounced a little bit last time from that 90 speed figure off the bench in the SF Davis Grade 3 at Tampa. I'm tired of getting beat by Johnny V and Todd Pletcher in these kind of races, Dave. That's all I can tell you. It's like, you know, how many times these guys got to keep shoving it in your face before you finally, you know, make them and put them in your selection. So it's not happening to me again. this horse has a 425 Tomlinson on an off track. So if the track comes up sloppy or wet or anything less than fast, I know this horse can run on it. You know, so logically, Dave, I think at 9 to 2 in the morning line, we need to make Vino Rosso our second selection in this Wood Memorial. And then our third selection, Dave, will be the 5-horse Enticed. Enticed is trained by Kieran McLaughlin, is ridden by Junior Alvarado, 6 to 5 in the morning line. Big jump in buyer speed figure, Dave. 76 off the bench on February 3rd at Gulfstream to a 95 at Aqueduct the last time out. If there was ever a horse that was set up for a bounce, this is the one, right? Because that's a 19 point, and really, Dave, that's like 19 length improvement in a speed figure from one race to the next. That's a pretty big jump. These are the kind of horses that often bounce off those kinds of performances, you know. And I like Enticed, Dave. I selected Enticed in the Gotham, as you know.
Right.
So sentimentally, I like this horse, And I looked at the points for the Derby, and this horse is in a good position. I think that McLaughlin will just try to get a good effort out of this horse, and this horse will qualify for the Derby. Probably one of the, you know, one of the favorites in the Derby. But I don't think this horse is set up to win this Wood Memorial. So let's make the 5-horse Enticed our third selection, Dave. So to summarize this Wood Memorial Aqueduct Race 10 on Saturday, our selections are the 4, the 9, and the 5.
All right, let's move west. We'll go to Santa Anita, another 1/8. This is a Grade 1, and this is the 81st running of the Santa Anita Derby, another really big race. It's a $1 million purse, and it's for 3-year-olds. Give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave, as I said to you before we started the podcast, you know, this will probably be the least competitive of all the races at least of the 3 Derby preps that we're looking at here. So let's make the 6-horse Justify with Baffert and Smith at 4 to 5, our top selection, Dave. Everything I've seen, I've watched this horse's races, everything I read, you know, this horse is get as much skill and talent. I think Baffert has made mention that this horse reminds him of American Pharoah. And if that's the case, everybody's going to be running for second here and in the Derby. Horse did bounce a little bit, 3 lengths off this horse's maiden victory. This horse hasn't been in against handicap horses yet, but these horses are all lightly raced. You know me, I try to beat these kinds of horses, Dave. I just don't think this horse is going to get beat. So let's make the 6-horse Justify our top selection. And then let's see if we can give the listeners a better exacta than the Justify Bolt de Oro exacta. So let's talk about our second selection, Dave. Our second selection is going to be the 7-horse. The 7-horse is Core Beliefs. Peter Urton trains. Tyler Bays is the jockey. This horse is 20-1 in the morning line. $350,000 purchase out of Quality Road. Yeah, 379 Tomlinson for this distance. Here's what I like, Dave. I like this horse has early speed. This horse early in its 2 career starts showed, you know, 22 second opening quarters, sprinting at 5.5 and 6 furlongs. Showed speed the last time on a much slower pace, but wired the field, produced a 90 buyer speed figure. As you know, these 3-year-olds can really increase buyers from race to race.
Yep.
Tyler Bays, aggressive jockey, a jockey I really like. It wouldn't surprise me if Tyler just winged it with this horse, tried to get it on the front end, slowed it down, and tried to carry this horse's speed as far as it would go. You know, my visual on this is that this horse has the lead, Justify makes a move in the middle of the stretch, goes right by, wins by as many lengths as he wants to, but I think Core Beliefs will hang on for second here. So so let's make the 7 horse at 20-1, Dave, with some good logic, not just the flyer, but you know, some logic on why we might want to put this horse in as our second selection. Yeah. So let's make 7 Core Beliefs our second selection in the Santa Anita. And then our third and final selection, Dave, will be the 3 horse Bolt de Oro. Though I'm concerned about making this horse a selection at all, and maybe I'll be wrong. This horse is second off a layoff. I'm going to tell you something interesting, yeah. Dave. I'm not sure I like the jockey change from Nakatani to Castellano.
Yeah.
I thought Nakatani fit this horse really well. I'm sure that Ruiz was not happy with the result in the juvenile. But again, Dave, you and I both remember that day at Del Mar. That track was quirky that day. That yeah. that was a strange Breeders' Cup. Yeah. So, you know, I like to, you know, I like to toss those races out. This horse was in a long battled stretch drive with McKinsey. You remember watching that yeah. race. Yeah. You know, there was a disqualification, which this horse was placed first in that race. You know, people were questioning whether McKinsey did foul. The encouraging thing, I think, for fans of Bolt de Oro is that there is a nice bullet workout after that effort. But, man, that just seemed like a grueling stretch run. You know, I know handicappers that really like competitive horses like this that are right. just going to, you know, grind it out. I'm not a fan of these kind of horses, Dave. I like horses yeah. that make big moves go by. That's what I like. I don't like grinders. I'm not a fan of grinders. And certainly as I'm looking for Derby horses and horses that I think can win the Kentucky Derby, I usually don't bet grinders. So let's make, you know, I think we have to give this horse the due respect here. So yep. We will make Bolt de Oro our third selection reluctantly in the Santa Anita. So let's summarize, Dave. In the Santa Anita Derby on Saturday, race 9, at Santa Anita. Let's make our selections are the 6, the 7, and the 3.
Yeah, like you said, this Santa Anita Derby is just insanely competitive. It's just tough. I mean, there's just so many choices in this race, and it's yeah. I mean, how do you do it? You sandwiched a long shot in between the two favorites. So
yep, and hopefully we can at least get an exacta cash for the fans.
Yeah, exactly. So let's before we wrap this up, I wanted to mention something here. There are just an incredible amount of graded stakes races coming up this Saturday, and so I think we talked before the show. It's about 25 other different races that are available.
Yeah, well, not all of them graded, but certainly across the country, there are a lot of stakes races coming up on Saturday for sure.
For this reason, I think it's most important of all is to be sure you're following us on Twitter Off the Charts HR, because Steve's going to go through and he potentially is going to handicap some other races, other tracks, and we're going to post those picks out on Twitter, and you'd be able to take advantage of some of those other choices that he has out there. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, as I told you, Dave, my plan this evening is to put quite a number of hours into looking at some of these stakes races that are available. And, my plan is to at least tweet out some selections and some things that I found, and maybe throw in another pick 3 or pick 4 sequence. So yep. Off the Charts HR.
Yes.
That's our Twitter handle. And I will post the picks on Twitter, and, you know, and people that followed us on Twitter, you know, wound up with a top 2 pick winner in the Sunland Derby when we were out in Vegas on right. that Sunday after the Saturday. So, you know, I don't tweet out stuff often, but when I do, it's because I feel very strongly about something. So so it's worth it. I guess is the point.
And we're thrilled that the followers keep increasing. A lot of people are following us, and we really appreciate your support as well as you learning about the horses and maybe getting some cashing in some big tickets here. So, all right, let's wrap this up. Make sure everybody knows, go to our website, offthechartshorseracing.com. At the top, you've got all those ways of listening to us. A lot of you are listening. We really appreciate it. Go to the Apple Podcasts. Stitcher Radio is out there, too. There's just plenty of ways to listen to us. Click any of those links at the top of the page. And again, like we mentioned, Twitter at OffTheChartsHR. Be sure you follow us. And like I said, there might be some other picks that that Steve will have out there. Maybe even a pick three or pick four that we didn't talk about today. If you want to ask us any questions, we have an email that you can send us. And we love email. We haven't gotten too many as of late. But you can send an email to us at questions@offthechartshorseracing.com. With that, Steve, do you have any closing comments before we wrap this up?
No, Dave, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow and looking at these Derby prep races as I start to get my head around some of the potential Derby horses are that I'm going to start looking at more closely, and I look forward to hanging out with you another Saturday afternoon watching the races.
Yeah, it should be fun. All right, with that, thanks for joining us. Good luck and good racing.